Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty, put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue to be free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Stay tuned for more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff. Thank you.
And that was Bill Clinton. Hey, welcome to the Disrespect the Truck Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Johnson. And I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. He is just about ready to park his truck for the evening. And how are you doing tonight, Chris?
As predicted, I am moving off of the exit ramp and into the parking lot of my stop for the night as we speak here.
Look at that. See, now that's timing right there. So we got a lot to get to tonight. Man, what don't we have to talk about, honestly? Probably how good looking Chris is. We don't want to talk about that because that just makes me look bad. But oh, I tell you, it's been an interesting week observing social media.
As always.
By the way, just in case you guys haven't heard, I was permanently banned off of TikTok one more time again. I don't know if I'll be joining back on TikTok or not. It's kind of a pain in the ass to jump through their hoops, but whatever. I don't need to be on there that bad, but it was getting the word out far, far, and wide, whatever you want to call it. But That is what it is. But I've been observing social media this last week. I come across a post by Keith Olbermann this morning, a tweet that he tweeted out talking him. He was showing him getting the booster shot for the vaccination, and then he went to his patio or his whatever, his balcony and wherever he lives, and he started talking about, you know, how the vaccinated, we can't let them get away, or the unvaccinated, we can't let them get away with not being vaccinated anymore. It's time to put our foot down. Basically what he said is the unvaccinated, the only reason they haven't gotten the vaccination yet is because they're scared and they're snowflakes and they're cowards and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, if I could sit in front of Keith Olbermann right now and have a conversation with him and look him in the eyes and say, no, dipshit, it's not that we're scared. It's not that we're cowards. It's because there's no long-term studies, no long-term side effects that we know of yet, that we don't know enough about this vaccine to be putting it in our body. Furthermore, when the vaccinated are able to catch the COVID-19 virus and spread the COVID-19 virus, how effective really is this vaccine? They don't want to talk. They don't want to have that conversation. Well, I kind of do. So that's kind of where I'm at with that Keith Olbermann thing. You know, just because you're a sports broadcaster or you talk about politics doesn't give you the right to tell me what I should do or what's best for my body. And people like that, they make me sick, honestly, because they forgot what the word freedom means. Freedom is the freedom of choice and to make your own informed decisions on your own personal health. Now, I will probably never in my entire life ever have contact with Keith Olbermann, and I really don't care if I do or don't. It doesn't matter to me. So, you know what?
Something tells me the two of you probably have different hangouts. You know, I can't imagine that any of the spots that Keith Olbermann frequents, you know, is somewhere that you're going to show up.
Well, yeah, unless he's going to come to a mom and pop truck stop and hang out with me in the back, you know, when I get done for the day, you know, then maybe I'll run into him. But yeah, I'm definitely not hanging out in the sophisticated crowds that he is. Let's put it that way. I'd rather hang out with my kind of people, down to earth people.
I think we should call him out. You know what? If he wants to be so authoritarian, I would challenge him. You know what? Do a little research, Keith. Figure out where all these unvaccinated people tend to get and grab a bunch of vaccine kits, go out and just, you know what, forcefully vaccinate them right there at the places where they congregate. You know, I mean, since he wants to say people are cowards, maybe he's too afraid to forcefully vaccinate someone. You know, obviously he wants someone else to go out and force vaccinate people on behalf of him and people like him who think it should be forced. I'm calling him a coward. I mean, if you think people should be forcefully vaccinated, go out and forcefully vaccinate them yourself. If not, then I think you're the coward. That's my thought.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Chris. I would pay to see that happen because chances are he's going to get the shit beat out of him relatively quickly. there's a lot of people out here that...
We do not condone violence on this show.
No, I'm just saying that's probably what would happen if he did do that. I'm just speculating at this point.
Okay,
yeah, but cover my ass
on
that one.
Speculator
right
now. We're in the speculation business. All right, I like it.
Well, if Keith Olbermann's an expert at vaccines, then I'm an expert at speculating. So there we go. I mean, it works both ways, right?
it works.
Yeah, right. So, you know, leading into the vaccines and Keith Olbermann getting on there and spouting his mouth, you know, there's a story that I read about a Delta Airlines pilot flying out of Los Angeles that they had to make an emergency landing because he died in flight. And there were rumors circulating around social media that it had something to do with the vaccine, that it was a vaccine death. Well,
Okay.
Delta Airlines came out and they made a statement that said that that's not true. And basically, yeah, they shot that theory down. Well, according to Dr. Ruby on Stu Peters' show, she's claiming she has three whistleblowers, one being the co-pilot, one being a flight attendant that was there at the scene, and another employee, I believe, or it could have been a passenger. Don't quote me on that. You'd have to go and reference Stu Peters' show. Anyway, she's claiming that these three whistleblowers or spectator witnesses or whatever you want to call them said that pilot had received his second dose of the vaccine within several days prior to this event happening. Delta Airlines came out and went as far as to say that vaccines do not cause death. if you go to the Bears website,
documented, yeah.
You yeah, can't say so you go to the Bears,
something doesn't cause death. Everything causes death. I'm sorry. Shrimp causes death if you have a bad enough allergy to shrimp. Okay. Milk. Everything causes a certain number of deaths. Go ahead. Go look at the statistics on the government website. You can't single out any one thing in this universe and say you cannot die from that. You can die from anything out here.
Right,
just
exactly. And before
that's
I move on with this story,
I'm fact-checking Delta.
Yeah, exactly. Before I move on with this, I want to mention that our call-in number is 516-387-1733. If you're on the phone currently and on hold and you want to get on air, all you got to do is press 1. That will cue my switchboard to let me know that you want to get on air and you have something to say. I would be happy to add you into the conversation, whether you agree with us or you disagree with us. All we ask is you keep it civil and come on and share your opinion. That's cool. Again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. And press number 1. That way I know that you want to get online or get on air and share your opinion with us. But going back to the Delta Airlines story, if you go to the VAERS website, which is directly linked to the CDC, it's the CDC website. VAERS is a reporting agency. I mean, it gets reports from all over the country of possible side effects from vaccines. And when they say possible side effects, they're required to report to VAERS if somebody is injured, somebody gets killed, any of that within a certain amount of time after they receive a vaccine. So I did read a couple stories on it tonight, and one of those stories was one person was reported in, this is just one instance, that they had died in a car accident a few days after they received their second dose of the vaccine. So they had to report that as a possible death to the vaccine because it was within that certain time period. But the problem I have is we have over 2 million adverse side effects. Now, when I say adverse side effects, here's another thing you need to know. That could be a cough. That could be a slight sore throat, a runny nose. It could be any of those things. That could be an adverse side effect. However, there are bigger ones on there and more of them. Myocarditis, there's quite a few of them on there. I can't give you the exact number on them. I just know there is a lot of them on there. Thrombosis, strokes, heart attacks, numerous things that show signs, to me anyway, of vaccine side effects, of these particular vaccines. Now let's include the number of over 16,000 dead. Now, that's one reporting agencies out of 11 reporting 16,000. Now, remember, there's another 10 other reporting agencies that they're not taking their data from. I don't know why they're not taking their data, but according to a whistleblower that works at VAERS, he claims that one reporting agency reported over 45,000 vaccine deaths. And this guy has filled out a sworn affidavit which is punishable by perjury to the law. And there is a federal lawsuit right now, I believe it is a lawyer out of Ohio, that is suing the federal government for that information. So when you have a federal lawsuit like that, it tells me there must be some kind of validity in what's going on.
Because that means
getting back
to the
numbers, you've
got an attorney to actually take it.
Exactly, right. No attorney in his right mind is going to take a case that there's no validity in. So he must have seen something
right.
That, like, whoa, you know. Obviously, I'm not privy to that information, but it is what it is. But, you know, you get back to those numbers, there's over 23,000 people permanently disabled in a short time period after taking a vaccine. And again, it's very widely known that only 1 to 10% of actual side effects or injuries are reported to VAERS. And my statement might be a little bit misconstrued there, off a little bit. But what I'm saying is, again, we're not getting the true numbers. So when they say 23,000 people are permanently disabled after taking the vaccines, whether it's because they fell off their horse, riding horse, or riding a bicycle, or was it actually from the vaccine? We don't know that. However, if it's only 1 to 10% being reported, 23,000, if 23,000 is 10% of 2.3 million people, that would be a 2. Help me out here, Chris. My math is off tonight. 23,000 would 1% would be 2.3 million.
Okay. If that's 1% of the reporting, we're talking about potentially up to 2.3 million.
There you go. Thank you. Good Lord.
That represents,
we've lost the caller over
that. If that represents 10%, then that's 230,000. So.
Right. So
these are big numbers.
What I'm
comparable, I might add, to the COVID numbers we were getting at the beginning of the pandemic, that for some reason, you know, CNN doesn't have a ticker running across the bottom of the screen that's updated every hour, letting you know how many vaccine deaths and hospitalizations there are. I find that rather curious.
Yeah, well, we all know what that was. That was fear-mongering, and the media is good at that. They sell fear. But, yeah, you made a good point. CNN had that banner at the very beginning of this of updated COVID, and it was constantly in your face 24/7. But now that we have adverse side effects, you don't hear a damn thing about it from any of the media sources. And when they're asked about it, they deny it. They straight-out deny it. And if you look at Project Veritas and their reporters, they've come across some pretty interesting stuff involving Pfizer whistleblowers and the head of Pfizer development. I think it was development and research. I can't remember what her name is, and don't hold me to that. But I just watched a Project Veritas video where he asked her, you know, about the fetal tissue fetal cell tissue, I think, is what is involved in making
stem
these
cell.
Vaccines.
Aborted stem cells.
Mm-hmm. So he asked her about that, and she literally took off in a dead sprint and ran away from him and ran into her house or whatever she was running into. But they won't answer the question. But they already have her on email, emailing people that information doesn't need to get out to the general public. So when you're starting to be shady and cover up stuff and not being truthful about what is actually in these vaccines, and it just doesn't set well with me. And then your very next sentence, you're saying, well, just trust it and be a hero and get vaccinated. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. You know, it doesn't set well with me. That's all. So
I just got a great new idea for Halloween. I think for Halloween, I'm going to go to a bunch of leftist hangouts, and I'm just going to walk up to people and tell them that I'm an undercover Veritas reporter. We finally found a good way to scare them.
without saying COVID.
You honestly, you should just do videos of that and just to see what people's reactions are to it, because I think that would actually be kind of funny. Some of that, yeah. No, but I read story after story after story of, you know, people that have passed away, people that are getting sick. I've seen many, many videos of people shaking. They have convulsions, like they're shaking uncontrollably. And I don't know how they can continue to deny that there is no side effects. Now, I realize there's a lot of money involved in these vaccines, and a lot of people are getting rich off this. But when you start putting profits ahead of people's well-being, you sold your soul to the devil, in my opinion. So,
absolutely.
You know, you got that. So, let's do you want to add anything to that, Chris, before we move on to the Southwest Airlines and all that good stuff?
You know, the only thing I'm going to say is, you know, I'm parked, you're parked. There's a lot of trucks out there right now that are parked in a truck stop because the federal government has determined that, you know, it's not safe for you if we drive more than 11 hours during the day, during a given period of time. But you absolutely should not worry about your pilot croaking mid-flight, okay? Just don't worry about that, you know? The irony there of the government that protects us from the most petty things. But, you know, pilots dying in mid-flight right after getting a vaccine, hey, don't worry about it. It's all right. You're good.
Yeah, at the very least, let's investigate that. At the very least. Say,
maybe?
You know what? We can't confirm or deny that he died from the vaccine. You know, at least, because you have the airlines right now are mandating their employees and their pilots to be taking this vaccine. If it's true what we've been hearing, that this higher altitudes are causing blood clots in the vaccinated pilots, which I cannot confirm again, it's just hearsay for me, but it's stuff that I've read. But if that is the case, don't you think we should have some kind of investigation on this stuff?
You know, absolutely. And it concerns me as a consumer who flies occasionally. You know, if you've got, you know, people in the higher up positions from Delta saying that a vaccine cannot kill you, which we know is blatantly false, you know what, CERN? Well, what things are you saying can't cause a plane to crash? You know, are you as inaccurate on your flight safety measures as you are worried about whether or not the pilot's going to die in the middle of the flight? I don't know. It definitely makes me question Delta. I'll say that. And Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and what you guys all seen the news this week, Southwest Airlines had to cancel 1,800 flights, and their press release was it was because of weather. Oh. It's funny because it was pretty nice down in that neck of the woods, but hey, whatever. But they doubled down on that lie numerous times, and they didn't talk about that. You know, I believe Southwest Airlines has 60,000 employees, or at least that's the number one of my friends posted on my Facebook post of mine, and which would equal 5,000 of the 6,000, 5%. Or roughly a little bit over that, of their employees that are standing up against the mandatory vaccinations. Now, if that's a true number and that's the case, you had 5,000 people out of 60,000 stand up and say no to something that they don't want, a mandate in this case, and they cause that kind of havoc. You imagine if we had 5% of the trucking industry. We have an industry of 3.6 million. If we had 5% of the trucking industry say, no, we're not taking it. We're not driving our trucks another mile until you stop all these mandates on everybody, you're looking at 180,000 truckers. So it's 180,000 truckloads not moving. I would say, Chris, and I don't know what your opinion is on this, but I think that would make a pretty damn big dent in the supply chain, don't you?
It would. You know, whether or not the media would admit it, you know, I mean, at this point, nothing would shock me. I wouldn't be surprised if the CEO of Southwest Airlines, you know, came out and blamed their next plane crash on the fact that, well, you know, the rudder fell off causing the crash, but the rudder fell off because there was a Trump rally in Phoenix last weekend. These people lie so much at this point. They've lost all credibility. They'll spend anything towards whatever they want it to fulfill their agenda of the moment. And even if 5% of the trucking industry actually shut down and we actually had a strike, I don't think it would get one bit of news coverage. In fact, if the supply chain got worse, and I was talking about this with my wife earlier tonight, we talked about the fact that, okay, they're making a big deal about the supply chain disruptions and all that, and you know, Joe Biden is going to go out there and he's going to save the world by, you know, holding all these companies accountable. He's going to make them step it up. You know, what we've tried to step it up, and for the last, you know, 8 years, all you've told us is we can't step it up, and you've demanded that we comply with it, and even gave us electronic monitoring to make sure we didn't step it up. But I think the story's going to be, you know, in 3 to 6 months, I think the story's going to be that, oh, man, the supply chain's working so much better. And you might be walking into your grocery store, and there's maybe one can of cat food in the entire store is all they have. And they're going to be on MSNBC, oh, man, you know what? The Biden administration and Pete Buttigieg, they've saved the trucking industry, and the, you know, the supply chain problem has been fixed. And I think that's going to be the story they're going to run with. In reality, I don't think much of anything is going to change at all. They're going to go in, they're going to tinker around, they're going to make this policy and that policy, and you know, go on mainstream media and say that they're sticking it to the trucking industry. But in reality, whatever their story needs to be, that's what their story is going to be. So it might go completely unchanged or even get worse over the next 6 months, but they're going to come back at some point and claim victory over the trucking industry. That's my belief. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to mute myself here because I'm about to start playing with the ratchets and everything on this load. It's going to get a little bit noisy for the next few minutes. So I'm going to come back.
Oh, okay.
In a few minutes. All right.
Gotcha, brother. Gotcha. Okay. So, yeah, now, I mean, Chris makes some really valid points, and I love having Chris on here as a co-host because he fills in my thoughts very well, and he's more articulate than I am. I'm just kind of a off the chain, say whatever comes to my mind kind of guy. But, you know, that leads into, you know, what President Biden, with this mandate of any employer with 100 employees, they have to have a mandatory vaccination. He came out today on Twitter and tweeted, and I know it's not Joe Biden tweeting. I'm not three. I'm smarter than that. But whoever's running his Twitter come out today under President Biden and said that they are very close. They will soon be the Labor Department will soon be issuing its emergency rule for companies with 100 or more employees to implement vaccination requirements. Okay. In the month of August, we had, I believe the number was 4.1 or 4.6 million people quit their jobs in the United States, one of the largest numbers ever. A very, very large number. That was in the month of August. What do you think is going to happen when these mandates start kicking in? October was a big one for the healthcare workers in a lot of states. November 1st is another one, I believe, for the military. Don't quote me on these dates, but October, November is a very big, very big couple months for mandates. So let's fast forward to when the Labor Department issues an emergency mandate, a ruling is what he calls it, but which I believe is a bunch of horseshit. But what do you think people are going to do? Do you think they're going to choose between their jobs or taking this jab that they don't want to take? I know there's a lot of people that have already made that decision and just went ahead and went and took the vaccine, and even though they didn't want it, and that concerns me, that people are forced into doing something they don't want to do. They're strong-armed, basically, by the federal government, and that is a very definition of tyrant behavior, is forcing people through, you know, threats to do something that they don't necessarily want to do, especially, again, when they don't have long-term studies done on these vaccines. I look at reports from all over. I wonder if I can't get to this one report that I have. I just read it tonight, or got it up tonight. And let me see if I can find it, or if it was this one. No, that's not the one. Well, I'll come back to that when I get Chris back on the line and he's talking, because then I can search for it while he's talking. But anyway, you guys call 516. Here's the number to call in, 516-387-1733. Those of you that are listening through the link that I shared, when you do call into that number, if you want to get on here and share your opinion or your thoughts, whether it's about this subject or any other subject, that's fine. Get just push one when you call in, and that will cue me on my switchboard that you want to get on and because you have something to say. And yeah, I'll put you right on, and we'll have a conversation. All we ask is that you do it respectful, and you can agree or you can disagree. That's fine, but no disrespect will be tolerated by either side. So please call in, 516-387-1733. So, you know, back to these mandates and 100 employers with over 100 employees. I've talked to numerous people from my hometown. He works in an ethanol plant, and right now they do swing shifts there, where you have to work 4 12-hour days, and then you get 4 days off, and then you work 4 12-hour nights, and then you get 4 nights off. And he's telling me that he is called in at least twice on his days off because they cannot find enough help. What's going to happen when they mandate this to these employers such as those and tell their employees, you have to get vaccinated or lose your job? We all know the shortages that we're seeing all over this country in the labor aspect of things. What's going to happen then? You know, so let me get caller 3073, you are coming on the air right now. You're on the air. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, this is James.
James, hey, what's happening?
Oh, man, not much. Go ahead and finish what you're saying, then I'll come in.
No, I'm good. Let's hear what you got to say. Everybody hears my opinion all the time. Let's hear what you got to say.
No, yeah, I mean, you're right on it with the mandates on the vaccines and things. The thing is, when he comes out and he puts it out that, you know, it is now mandatory for those businesses to do so, I know here in Kentucky that there's at least, that I know of, and there could be more, but that I know of, 5 businesses that's already got the first lawsuit just ready to throw at them. For one, this is unconstitutional. And they're going to, of course, when it's in a lawsuit, well, it don't matter what the executive order is. It's automatically put on hold because it's not passed through the courts at that point. I think the main reason they're doing this is pretty much the scare tactic part, to try to scare, for instance, truck drivers into getting it. Because they're like, well, I might as well just go ahead and get it because it's going to be law soon. That's what I'm seeing. You know, I would say stand your ground, stand strong. If you don't want it, don't get it. You know, if you want it, get it. Because it's really not going to pass through the courts. It's not going to be only from Kentucky. I mean, this is going to be – there's going to be numerous of lawsuits as soon as that
does. Yeah. And James, for the listeners' sake, why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you are involved with?
Well, I used to be a truck driver. I say used to be. I had to stop driving back the first of the year. I used to be involved within the fight and everything in the trucking industry. And I'm not going to say that I'm not now, because I'm doing a lot of stuff in the back, you know, the back part of it, just keeping to myself. But in 2020, I ran for local state office here as a state representative in Kentucky, and I'm doing so again in 22. So being the average truck driver that was out there on the road, knew nothing about politics, well, I'm not going to say I'm smart at it, because, well, I'm just not that smart of a guy. But I understand politics. I see what politics is, and I understand a lot of stuff. You know, it's absurd that governors, the president, thinks that they can go against the Constitution. Here in Kentucky, of course, everybody knows that Steve Beshear, or, you know, Governor Beshear, he had mandates like crazy. You know, he was mandating you couldn't even go to church, you know, without getting notices on your car. You know, mask mandates, the whole nine yards. I mean, you name it, he had a mandate out there for it. And sorry about the dog. And now, everything's went to court. The governor's been beat 50-some times in court. And the last ruling, the judge says, you know what, no more mandates. If the governor puts out a mandate, he is automatically going to jail with a $10,000 fine. And Kentucky's wide the hell open. You know, probably the worst state with this new COVID variant out, you know, right now is Kentucky. But you see no mandates because the courts finally said, you know what, this stuff's unconstitutional. You can't do it. Keep your hands out of it.
And it goes back to let the people decide their own, you know, their own choices for their own health. And
exactly.
I just read an article earlier today that nationwide new COVID cases are actually down 25%. So I don't know what to think about all of this anymore. You know, you get this number, that number, everybody's got a number. Every media source has got a different angle on it, a different view on it. You get to the mainstream media, they don't report half of the stuff. So, of course, the American people are unsure, not only just in the state of Kentucky, but all over America. They don't trust our government, and that's just the bottom line. Not everybody is like that, but there's a very good portion of us that we just don't trust you because you're shady about shit. You don't tell us the truth. You try to suppress facts in order to benefit your numbers, and that's just not okay to me and to many people that I know. But, you know, James, this is James Toler, by the way, everybody, and James Toler is running as a libertarian in the state of Kentucky. What's your thoughts on Mitch McConnell's handling of all of this?
Mitch McConnell is nothing but a party swinger, depending on who's the president. Mitch is Mitch. You know, he don't need to be where he's at. He should have been gone a long time ago, just like Elaine Chao should have never had her job. You know, Mitch is not a representative. Mitch is not a leader. Mitch is not nothing but Mitch. Everybody here in Kentucky is just so sick of him, and they're like, well, I'm not voting for him next time. Well, there's not going to be a next time because he's just not going to run again. The problem with him being in there now is, like I was saying, you know, whenever I was running for office, was that we need Mitch to lose this election. We cannot afford Mitch to go out on legacy mode. And that's what they give him, was legacy mode power. And he's just doing whatever Mitch wants to do, and not a single bit of it's the right thing to do.
Well, let's, you know, since we brought his name up, and then you brought up Elaine Chao's name, she used to be the head of the Department of Transportation under the Trump administration. And mm-hmm. What was she investigated for in the state of Kentucky?
Well, there's a lot of things, really, Jeremy, that she's went through. She's got a trucking company out of Louisville. You know, conflict of interest is something that her and Mitch both have right now. Well, she had when she was in her power as, you know, Secretary of Transportation or whatever her stupid title was, and things like that. I've been told that, you know, the trucking company's not in her name, obviously, but she has all the power within that trucking company. You know, it's bad to say that Mitch is even a senator from Kentucky. When he got that years and years and years and billions of years ago, didn't even live in Kentucky and still really don't live in Kentucky. He bought a house.
I'm pretty sure, James, that the first political photo that I've seen with Mitch McConnell in it, there was a Tyrannosaurus Rex standing nearby. That's how long he's been in politics. I'm pretty sure I've seen that photo.
Yeah, no, exactly. That don't surprise me a bit. You know, but he didn't even live in Kentucky, and he still don't live in Kentucky. He lived, I believe it was in Arkansas. He bought a house in Louisville within the time frame so he can run as a senator here in Kentucky. And he had the address, and that's all he's ever had. You know, crazy crap like that happens. I understand that. But why do we even have that crazy turtle face looking sucker in office anyway?
Well, and you were involved with standing with the coal miners down there in Kentucky. When was that again, James? Talk about that when you stood there with the coal miners.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, I believe 2 years ago in August. Coal miners were getting the shaft by the owner there, didn't receive their last three or four paychecks. They wasn't allowed to get their 401k, all this and that. So, guys, they shut the railroad track down and said that coal's not going anywhere. That's theirs, just because they wasn't paid. You know, I stood up with them along with, you know, I wasn't the only truck driver at the time that did. But, you know, we stood up with them. We sat on the railroad tracks. We played cornhole on the railroad tracks. And it was only because the government was allowing this to happen. The government wasn't stepping up and saying, you owe this person, so you need to pay them. They were just letting it go. Whatever the owner wanted, they wanted. And conflict of interest type deal, probably, because I'm sure Jeff Hoops at that time was probably a big donor to a lot of people in Frankfort or Washington, D.C., either one. You know,
and didn't that owner go and buy a big mansion or something in the midst of all that? Or?
Yeah, he did. Big condo, big golf course. He went and bought it all. Right in the middle of everything going on, you know.
While his employees weren't getting paid.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, and that fight's still going on. You know, I mean, it's still in courts, the whole nine yards. At least the judge.
You bring up the fact of the court hearings. You know, going back, I'm sorry to jump around here, but going back to these mandates, and yeah, they'll be challenged in court. We all know that it's going to be challenged in court. The problem we face is the time it takes to go through that court, unless we have a higher-up judge, what do they call it, a stay of execution, where they can't do anything until that court case is heard. I believe that's the term used. I'm not up on the terms as of late. But
temporary restraining order or an injunction.
Right, right. Yeah, injunction. There you go.
There you go. So if that doesn't happen, we're probably in, you know, a lot of the people in this country are going to be in trouble. But I did see that the airline union is suing Southwest Airlines over this mandate. So again, we have to wait for the process of the courts, unless the judge puts that order out that nothing can be done until the courts hear the case.
Can I throw something out there? On what you were just talking about, the mandate with Southwest Airlines. And unfortunately, I can't quote the source right off the top of my head, But I actually read an article here, I believe it was just yesterday, and it was really interesting. The title of the article was, "There Is No Mandate." Of course, that got my attention. And so I started reading through it, and they made a pretty valid point that, number one, of course, we know the president doesn't have the lawful authority to issue an executive order making that mandatory. We know that's unlawful. And what the article went on to say was, and to date, he hasn't. He has not actually issued an executive order making it mandatory for people to get vaccinated. And essentially,
no, but he's weaponizing
right.
OSHA and our department, you know, our different agencies.
And that's exactly, but that going on to my point, essentially what's done is there was an executive order urging OSHA and some other regulatory agencies to craft new regulations requiring it. But as of yet, none of those regulatory agencies have acted on it. The Congress hasn't actually voted on any measure like that. There's no executive order mandating it. There's only the executive order, you know, urging the regulation. And they've done a press conference asking all the companies to make it mandatory. And that's why there's no, or why there's, I should say, a lack of lawsuits against this mandate, because you can't sue over a mandate that doesn't actually legally exist.
Right.
So what we've got is a big smoke and mirrors show, like they're so famous for, just like with the, you know, everyone being led to believe that the three vaccines that are out there are fully FDA approved. They are not. The only vaccine that actually has full FDA approval is, I know I'm going to say it wrong, I think it's Comirnaty or something like that, but that vaccine is not available. So the three that are out there, the Pfizer, the J&J, and the Moderna, those vaccines that are available publicly are still experimental use, which means the manufacturers are shielded from liability. But if you ask people, they'll tell you they're fully FDA approved, because that is exactly what they've been led to believe. They'll also tell you that there is a presidential mandate through executive order mandating that, you know, you get this vaccine. And in actuality, there's not. There's a request from the regulatory agencies to come up with a policy, which has not yet been crafted, approved, hasn't been voted on. So essentially, these companies are out there falling in line with an order that doesn't exist, because it's unlawful and no one can sue to stop it, because there's no actual law in place requiring it.
Yeah,
interesting
right.
article.
Well,
what the reports I'm getting is that American Airlines is also has canceled 1,000 flights in the last 24 to 36 hours. So American Airlines, Southwest Airlines, between the two of them, you're talking over 2,800. Flights. So thought I'd throw that little tidbit out there. And before we move on, let me just remind everyone that is listening, if you want to call in, 516-387-1733, press the number 1, and that will give me a cue that you want to come on air and share your opinion or your thoughts and join the conversation. But go ahead, James. I know you were going to say something. Sorry to interrupt you.
Well, no, you're good. The accuracy, if that's the word to use, of the vaccines, Chris, you know, as Chris said, there's only one FDA, fully FDA approved, and it's not available. I've been in another fight with the government over the last 5 months here in Kentucky on an eminent domain issue of mentally ill patients. And the thing is, these 28 residents had all been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, fully everything. And a week and a half ago, it came out that 13 of the 28 are COVID positive. So does the vaccine really work? No, obviously not, or 13 fully vaccinated people would have never gotten COVID. Three of them were hospitalized. You know, obviously does not work. So why is it not FDA approved? Well, there's your answer. But as far as the mandates go, like, for instance, let's just say I was a governor of Kentucky. If I came out tomorrow and I said, okay, December 15th, I'm going to be signing an order that makes it mandatory for every business of 100 employees or more that their employees have to be vaccinated. Even though the governor knows that's not going to fly and that's not going to pass and it's not going to become law, it's not going to do nothing, what did he do? He's already sent the message out, and these employers are like, well, I want to get ahead of the game. All right, you have to get vaccinated. They just want to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So they're thinking, well, this is going to be law. No one, not even knowing that he can't do it, they're like, okay, sorry, employees, you got to get vaccinated. Well,
or
he's won his battle.
Or you're going to get kickback from the federal government.
Yeah. You know, so he's won his battle already.
I don't know that, but they could be. Yeah.
Sure.
There was a breaking report that just came out at 6:42 p.m. tonight on Twitter from Chuck Celesto. Breaking report is Hawks NBA star Brandon Goodwin reports blood clots from the COVID vaccine and it is season. The NBA told him to keep it quiet. So I see reports like this all over about regular people, NBA players, now this NBA player. Big news this week with Kyrie Irving saying that he refuses to get vaccinated and they benched him. Carl Anthony Towns from Minnesota, also an NBA player who lost. He's had a really tough go of things with his COVID. And
lost
he said
his mom.
He's lost some, yeah, lost his mom to it. And you know, he's really had a tough time with the COVID. But you know what he said today really made me proud of, you know, supporting a guy like that. He's a pretty down-to-earth cat. He said, as hard of time as I've had with COVID-19 and the loss of my mother, I still believe in people's right to choose. And that says a lot about a man right there, in my opinion.
Well, I'll let you guys keep on talking, but I'll leave you with one thing. Life, liberty, and property, government should stay the hell out of all three of them and let you live your life the way you want to.
And James, before you go, how can people follow you, James?
Go to the Facebook page. You know, you can go to my personal page, James Toler. I just had to make a new one, so I don't have the thousands of followers that I used to have on my old one. I've only got a couple hundred. Sorry about that. Go over to that, or you can go to the campaign Facebook page, capital JT, the number 4, capital SR 2022. Go over, follow, like it. And matter of fact, the campaign just put out a letter actually on Facebook. It's on my personal Facebook right now. Concerning the port situation. Really good read. If you want to go over, read it. Campaign put it out. Sorry, Chris, you was in the radio show and, you know, I couldn't send it to you, but it's on my Facebook page.
and that's capital J, capital J and capital T, which stands for James Toler. And then the number 4.
And then capital SR for state rep.
Capital SR as state for state rep.
And then 2022. So JT, the number 4, SR is all together, and then there's a space 2022.
And that's on Facebook.
Yep. And then
okay, good.
If you want a little bit more, you can go to Toler, the number 4, ky.com. That's the webpage.
Okay, and then Toler is spelled T-O-L-L-E-R, the number 4, .com.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, K-Y,
yeah.
Sorry. Toler, number 4, yeah. K-Y.com.
There we go.
There you all go. Right, James. Hey, man, I appreciate you joining the conversation tonight, and good to hear from you, brother, and good luck on your campaign for 2022, and I know you're putting a lot of hard work into it, and I know Chris is involved with that, and we wish you all the best, my friend.
Yeah, Chris overworks me. I don't know. I just...
All right, James, you need to get off the phone and go knock on doors now.
Hey, you know, it is what it is. But, hey, you know, I do want to say, guys, I used to drive a truck. I've got well over a million miles over the road, safe driving. I will never forget where I came from. Even though you may not hear a lot from me on the trucking industry right now, when I get into office, I will do everything that I can to help the trucking industry here in Kentucky. So don't forget that.
There we go. Thank you for coming in there.
You fucking crazy, man. You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
I had to throw that one.
Gotta love
there.
It.
I just have.
I tell you what. We need more. We need more people like James. We need more truckers to step up and, you know, as they retire, get off the road, whatever. We need more people with the knowledge of this industry jumping in and getting into office, because it would be great to have some people in position to regulate our industry that have actually driven something bigger than a taxpayer-funded desk. Just throwing that in there. But go ahead to your next point here.
Yeah, no, you're right. We need more people like James in office, and we not just truck drivers. We need nurses and doctors and people that work behind the truck stop counters at Love's. You know, we need a regular Americans, not these career politicians, these career crooks that keep on passing bills and legislation that don't benefit the American people but benefit their best interests. I read an article today with about John Kerry has $1 million invested in a China-based company that is accused of basic human rights violations. And if we went and looked at our members of Senate and Congress and where their money is involved in, and the simple fact that Martha Stewart went to prison for whatever, 6 months or whatever it was, for insider trading, if we went and seen what our politicians were doing, they'd all be in prison for insider trading. Well, not all of them. I shouldn't say all of them. That's a broad statement, but a lot of them would be. You tell me how Nancy Pelosi is worth $310 million. I mean, well, because she's a good investor. Or, and this is just my opinion, I can't state
insider
this as a fact,
trading.
But insider trading. She's got some information about a certain company that she's buying heavily into and making a shitload of money. And here us American people are sitting back, trying to make ends meet, and you know the gas goes up $1, $1.50 a gallon, and I seen an article. All the inflation is hurting the top earners in the country. I can assure you that $1 more a gallon to the super rich is not hurting them. I can assure you that. You know who it's hurting? The single moms, the families that are just scraping by, and now they have to choose. Between, you know, while they have to put gas in their car to get to work. And it's costing them an extra, say, $15 every time they put a tank of gas in. That $15 is food for their kids. Normal food,
you know,
for
what?
Their kids. Going to
I'll
Dairy Queen, you know what I mean?
Story. Yeah, I'll believe that line that it's affecting the top earners. As soon as I see Jeff Bezos emptying out a coin jar to buy rocket fuel for his next rendezvous in space.
Right. Hey, we got another caller. Let's see who we got on here. 7577-7577. If your last four digits of your phone number is 7577, you are coming on the air. And who do we have on the air today?
This is Rocco.
Rocco, nice.
Rocco.
Thanks for joining the program, Rocco.
Hey, how are you guys
What's
doing
on
that?
Your mind, my friend? We're good, brother.
Well, I'm just a regular person. I mean, I've been doing the same job for 40 years. I don't drive a truck or anything, but everything that I have in my house, everything that in my industry that I've been doing for 40 years comes on the back of a truck. And I think one of the problems that we have here is it just feels like something is not real here as far as in Washington, D.C. It just seems like when I watch things and I watch events happen, it feels like they're either staged or it's not reality.
Feels like you're watching
like
a reality
show. I look
show.
At Joe Biden when he's walking to the helicopter to go on the Air Force One or whatever, and it doesn't look like him. He's got the mask on and the aviator sunglasses, it looks like somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you bring up a good point. And the fact that the White House came out the other day and said that they're using a fake set for Joe Biden because he needs to read the teleprompter, and you can't see the teleprompter in the fake set. Never in the history of the United States have we had to use a fake set for our president, as far as I remember. I might be wrong.
Right.
Correct me, Chris, if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
It just seems like the events that are occurring are being staged to be horrible. And they just like throw their hands up like, well, you know, we blame it on the previous guy and it's his fault. I mean, we're speaking about transportation issues. Joe Biden put a mayor who had zero, absolutely zero experience in transportation issues, Pete Buttigieg. And he put him over transportation. And now we have huge transportation issues. He's nowhere to be found. He surfaced yesterday on TV, and they ask him about the supply chain issues. Serious question, serious delivery. And he answered with a funny, laughing, joking answer. And these are serious issues.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the government is warning the American people of possible supply chain issues that could affect Christmas gifts or Christmas giving or whatever you want to call it. So
right. You're
right, Rocco. I believe that everything that they come out with and say, and we know that there's a problem with, it's like they're warning us of what they're about to do. They're like they're showing their heart, their hand, but they're only showing you about two-thirds of their hand. They're not showing you the two jokers that they got in there that is really going to mess things up. I agree with you, Rocco.
I mean, you have the port in Los Angeles that is purposely being shut down, slowed down. All these ships are backed up. Meanwhile, you have other ports around the country. They're saying, well, bring them here. We'll offload them. We'll unload them. Ron DeSantis said, go through the Panama Canal. Come here. We'll unload them. I mean, it just seems like this is part of a play, an act that's going on here. Just like the whole election thing. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is it certainly does look that way, and I happen to agree with you. And Chris, what were we just talking about earlier about now my brain just went to a brain freeze. It had to do with
the LA port.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately, I've got a wonderful wife at home, and she actually helps me with this show a little bit. And so she called while I was driving down the road, knowing that, you know, I'm not able to look things up during the day while I'm driving. And so she called to say, hey, you know, Bozo the Clown, I'm sorry, President Biden, said that, you know, the ports out in Los Angeles operate 25% more efficiently during off-peak hours. And so they're going to open the port up. They're going to make it a 24-hour operation and start running more trucks through there during those overnight hours to take advantage of that increase in efficiency. All I could do was laugh at that. Because, I mean, I don't know if him and the rest of his administration are actually this stupid or if they just think we're that stupid. But, you know, the reason that the trucks get in and out of the port faster during the ones that come in during the overnight, during the off-peak, I know from some of the ports I operate in, I don't work out of L.A., but some of the ports I operate in, they have designated off-peak hours for certain people, like car carriers would be one example out in Baltimore. But the reason they get in and out of the port faster than the trucks that are there during the daytime is because there's not very many of them. It's kind of the same theory of, hey, let's go to Six Flags on a day that it's cold and rainy, because even though the weather sucks, we're going to be able to get on the rides much faster because nobody's going to be there and the lines are going to be short. Now, by that same token, that's what's happening at the ports. You don't have many trucks in there during those overnight off-peak hours that they only allow certain, you know, types of freight to move because there's not many trucks in there. Open that thing up wide open.
Right.
And
right.
Guess what? The efficiency level is going to drop the day shift.
Suspend a lot of these regulations that get put on. That's the difference between a fake president who is just going through the motions and told what to say and told what to do, and one who's real and is a businessman. Although Trump may not be your cup of tea, he really wasn't mine as far as whatever. But I'm a businessman. You know, I run a small business and I work for a large business too. But he would not let this happen. He would unleash the regulatory things until the emergency passed. You know what I mean?
Right.
He would release the fuel. I mean, you know, God love these truckers, how much they're paying more in fuel. I mean, I work in the printing industry, and I deal with ink. I deal with paper. I deal with chemicals. All three of those are impacted by the petroleum industry, and we just cannot keep going this way. And I just think there's a malaise that's come over the country where people just are asleep about this, and I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up.
You know, right about the time the grocery shelves are completely empty, people are suddenly going to say, "Huh, you know, some of those conspiracy theory nuts might have actually been correct. They might have been onto something here." What do you think?
Well, it's Trump's. It will be Trump's fault.
Well, of course.
It's just, you know, he left the shelves there.
It's literally 9 or 10 months after he's left office, and I'm going to try my attempt at humor here for a second. But the far left in Washington, D.C. and in our media just can't seem to get the D out of the mouth. You know what I'm saying? They are having a very tough time getting that D out of their mouth. And I read all the sources of media, and I read an article today on CNN, dated it was either today or yesterday, and it's all about what Donald Trump did this and Donald Trump did that. At what point in time does this administration take responsibility and accountability for their own actions and their own failures and admit that, you know what, this wasn't Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not the one that left Afghanistan and left Americans there to die. Donald Trump didn't do that. That was Joe Biden. Donald Trump did not raise the fuel prices. That had nothing to do with Donald Trump. That was everything involving this administration. So admit your failures. Figure out a solution to fix the problem. Quit hurting the American people. But, Rocco, I appreciate your phone call, man, and thank you for calling
the
show.
I appreciate it. Just to add to your point, it's similar to when you break up with someone or like you have an ex-wife. The next person, you try to make completely opposite of the person that you just divorced. And you know, the person you just divorced had some good traits and good characteristics, but you totally go 180 degrees the other way and do everything opposite of what he would have done. And he was doing good things for this country, and you're actually doing things that harm the country. I mean, it just makes no sense to me. And people are asleep. They are, and I have a son who voted for Biden, and I call that boy up every day, and I remind him what he did. And he's a Domino's delivery manager, and every day I said, "How much is your gas? How much is your gas? How much are your tips? How much is business going down?" Every single day. Like, you got to find somebody who voted for Biden and remind them and hold them accountable for what we told you would happen happened. We told you this was going to happen.
What part of the country are you in, Rocco?
I live just north of Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, so you're in
Atlanta,
so you're from a different area of the country than I'm in Minnesota. Chris is in in Illinois, so it's nice to see the perspective from all over the country.
Yeah, it's
so,
really
but I
all
have
over.
A,
I mean, I live in a free state.
I have
a, we come and go, and it's you got to have that. You got to have freedom.
No, that's for
otherwise,
sure. Otherwise,
we're
going to
be Australia. See ya.
All right,
yep, thanks
for Rockwell.
I appreciate you, brother.
Okay.
Okay, that was Rocco from Georgia. That was. It's always nice to hear from different people, and we sure appreciate that. So right now we're going to take a caller from with the phone number 2119. 2119, you're going to come on the air right now. And as soon as it loads here, and who do we have here? Who are we talking to?
Hey, guys. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. How you guys doing tonight?
Well, holy cow, how are you? We're good, man.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I was just actually I'm a night shift guy, so I just got going. I just figured I'd call in before I got on the road and officially welcome you guys to Unplugged Radio Network. It sure is good to have another voice out here because I tell you what, we need them.
Yeah, we sure do, Evan.
Thanks for that welcome.
Good deal,
yeah,
good
thank
deal.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Yeah, we.
Do you
want
to add something to the conversation tonight, my brother?
Well, what I was going to say was we were talking about the same thing on our show last week about getting involved and doing things. And I tell you what, it's going to happen. It's going to have to happen where we have to get in there and, you know, run for offices. I mean, just like old Uncle Bob said in War Games, you know, hell, I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd do any better. So let's get in there. You know, and you can't do any worse than what's already going on. So, you know. I mean, you may not know a lot about foreign policy or picking judiciary people or whatever, but hell, you know, the biggest problem I think we got is the bureaucrats. That's the biggest problem. You know, you're talking about how you don't think it's Biden actually doing there and they're running on a fake Oval Office set and all that. Well, they're finally just doing exactly what we all assumed they were doing, which is it's not real. The guy that's sitting there saying that he's in charge, he ain't in charge. It's all the people that are back there behind the scenes that you have no idea who they are. You know, I mean,
right.
I didn't know who Fauci was
exactly.
Until he came out there and started talking. And it's like, damn, that guy's been in the head of those departments for over 25 years. And even he was bad at his job back then. Like, well, hell, how do you get that job? That's what I want. I mean, hell, if a truck driver, you know, you lie on your logbook once, adios. You know, what the hell?
Right.
Yeah, no,
you bring
you're
up
exactly
a good
right.
Point. I was talking about that. Sorry, I was going to say I was talking about that earlier with my father. You know, what president can you remember ever in history, in modern history, where we have TV and radio? What president can you remember that has actually had their microphone cut off because they attempted to answer questions?
Right.
What does that tell you? He's not in charge.
Yeah.
He's not running things. He has people over him that are controlling him. So we don't actually know who's running the country right now. There's nice rumors and theories out there. But, yeah, just since you brought that up, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I mean, people overlook that and don't really take that as a big, huge, scary sign. But I'm sorry, when you've got forces out there that are willing to cut the president's microphone off, the people that are from his side, that tells you someone else is in charge. And that should concern you because you don't know who they are.
Yeah, they're all
absolutely.
Back there behind the scenes, every single one of them. Yeah.
Well, look at that hot mic when Nancy Pelosi asked, am I on? And they said no. And she says, okay, no, we do not want him to talk. And speaking about Joe Biden. When I heard that, I'm like, what in the actual hell is going on that Nancy Pelosi has the power over the president? That she tells the president when he can speak or not. Then that's when I knew for a fact something was up. And I'm like, no, there's just way too many coincidences for me to believe that this is anything but a sham, all of it.
I mean, when the funniest things is when Nancy Pelosi got up there and she was getting mad at the media, said, well, you're not selling the bill. It's not my job. It's your job to sell the bill. It's like, damn, you know, they're actually just at coming out and admitting it, that, you know, it's like, hey, we don't do that. You know, you guys do that, you know. And like I said, they're showing it to you. You just got to be looking. And, of course, unfortunately, about 50% of the population just ain't looking. They don't care. You know, they assume the guy's name on the door is the one in charge. you know, so. Like
no,
that, we just
exactly.
got to get in there and start getting more done. That's all.
Well, I got you on the air, and I've got some. I do have some listeners on here. Why don't you plug your radio show so we can share my audience with you to come over and check you guys out and listen to your guys' stuff.
Yeah, cool deal. Yeah, we're on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern time for a couple of hours, and our founders of Redneck and I come on there is Greg and then we got Robbie. And they come on and chime in. I tell you what, you guys want to hear a character, and that's old Greg. He definitely gets fired up. I actually had to come up with a theme song, so that when he starts talking and getting on a rant, I got to turn the music up, and that's when he knows when to stop. So, you know, if you get him fired up like that, and that's awesome. But yeah, we also at redneckandeyes.com. People want to check it out. You know, we're looking forward to going to the truck shows and getting things back to normal is what we're looking forward to. So.
Nice. Yeah, so go everybody that's listening, go check them out on Redneck and I's Radio, right here on Unplugged Radio. Follow the link through. I'll maybe share it on my social media here after the show or tomorrow. Share the link over to his radio show. You can listen to prior broadcasts, and it gives you a little bit of an option on Sunday nights at 7 Eastern, which would be 6 o'clock Central. Go check out a different point of view other than mine and Chris's, and you might find that we have a lot in common, and you might find that, you know what, I like listening to them better, and that's all good and well with us too. So, hey, I appreciate the call, and thanks for the welcome, man. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all. You guys have fun out there, and keep it real, right?
Keep it real. All
right, man. Take it easy. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, that was Redneck and Eyes Radio. Host of that program. Go check them out on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock Eastern time, 6 o'clock Central, right here on Unplugged Radio. And while I say that, let me just say a quick thank you to Unplugged Radio for giving us the opportunity to get on this platform and spew our bullshit, our opinions and
our bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to have that opportunity to get on here and speak to an audience where you're not being censored like on social media. Again, you know, I've been banned permanently off of TikTok twice now, but if you are listening and you want to join this conversation, share your opinion, your thoughts, dial in at 516-387-1733 and hit the number 1, and that will let me know that you want to talk. And we would be happy to add you into the conversation, even if you disagree with us, even if you have a different point of view.
You know what, absolutely.
Come on.
Especially if you disagree with us, because, you know, we won't do like the leftist media does, where, you know, if you don't agree with the host, your mic gets cut off and you get thrown off the show and mocked and you know, verbally beaten. We won't do that here. We might be biting our lips at times, but we'll have a civil discourse with you, at least on this show. We'll have a civil discourse with you, and we're not going to just shut you up and cut your mic and boot you off unless you go into some, you know, profane or violent, you know, rant or something like
yeah.
that, you know. But
unless you're being disrespectful, yeah. We do have two more callers,
I mean,
Chris, that
yeah.
called or queued in now that want to get on the air. Yeah. We love having callers. It gives us more to talk about. So let's add in, let's see here, 5912. 5912. We're going to add you on the air right now. And you are on the air. And who do we have? Who am I speaking with today?
This is Mom Bear.
Mama Bear, how are you?
I was listening to Biden's bill, I think it was yesterday, about the supply chain issue. There's something I've noticed that he said that nobody's talking about. He said in June he created a supply chain disruption task force.
Interesting.
So
good catch.
Is the task force really doing what it says it's doing? And if it was created in June, you figure it would take a month or so at least to get set up and get going. So it was created in June, and now we're having these supply chain issues.
I think this administration has the ships and the container ships out on the ocean there in L.A. And down by Galveston confused with the illegal aliens coming illegally across the border, and I think they got their something mixed. I that's just my speculation. Again, I'm a professional speculator, by the way. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But excuse me. No, that's a good point that you brought up. You know, if so, you created a task force in June. All of a sudden, starting in August, we start having ships being held out in port, and it's because of a mass rate of supply, right? 50% demand all of a sudden. We got 50% more demand. I know in history we've had more demand peak times. And for you to try to sell this off as that, Biden administration, I'm going to be the first one to, you know, probably yell that word bullshit.
So if it's a disruption task force, are they really disrupting the supply chain on purpose?
That's what it seems like. I mean, if mission accomplished, if their job was to figure out how to disrupt it, they're doing a better job at creating a, you know, a disruption in the flow of supplies than any of us in the industry here, you know, pushing for a trucker strike could ever dream of. Go figure. Government does a better job of messing things up than the rest of us do, I guess.
I mean, we didn't have a supply chain issue before June.
Yeah, no, and you're
not
right. I'm going to be the first one.
Warning! Warning! Bullshitter alert! Bullshitter alert! Warning! Warning! Bullshitter alert!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to this administration on a number of things. This whole supply chain issue, the normal ship waiting on in the sea waiting to dock is 0 to 1. 0 to 1. And the last I checked, like a week ago, was at 72, peaked at like 103. Yeah, you got some explaining to do as far as I'm concerned to this administration. But, I appreciate your call, Mama Baron, and bringing up that point. That's a very good point and a good catch. And definitely something I'm going to look into tomorrow when I have a little bit of free time. So thank you for calling, and we do appreciate the call. Make sure you put the 516-387-1733 into your speed dial on your phone so every Thursday night at 7 to 9, you can call in and share your thoughts. We always appreciate hearing from people.
All right. Have a good evening.
Okay. Thank you. All right. That was Mama Bear. And Mama Bear is somebody I met off of TikTok. And she's done some different things as far as standing up and protesting against these mandates down in the Kansas City area. And we sure appreciate her enthusiasm and her activism, and we need more people like that. So I sure do appreciate her. Let's get to the next caller here. 3015, we're going to add you on here. You are on the air. Who am I speaking to?
Hello, my dear. Karen Capobianco. Can you hear me?
Well, hi, Karen. How are you?
Hi, I am well. I am walking to the next establishment as I listen. I've been listening to you guys for quite a while. You know, I'm from Connecticut, kind of like a little communist state. But, you know, the one thing I didn't hear at the very beginning of the broadcast because I was really busy actually, like, promoting everything that's going on, especially with the supply chain, the Federal Registry. I just cannot believe it's, like, blowing my mind that you cannot find that anywhere. People have absolutely no clue what I'm talking about. They think I'm crazy. And I'm like, you guys have a voice. Why won't you freaking use it? And I literally stapled the whole five. You know what? I have a printer. I walk. I don't drive because truck drivers actually scare me. I was in a bad car accident when I was 16, and I'm 44 now. Little, like, PTSD going on there. But that's besides the story. So So I walked my ass, and I went and got myself some printing paper, and I walked my ass back home, and I printed up, and I stapled up a whole bunch of flyers, 5 pages each, because I really do not understand why the news is not, like, telling everybody about this registry. How do people not know about it? People are looking at me like I'm crazy.
I don't think a lot of Americans know about a lot of things that are really happening. Because number one, you know, when mom and dad get home from a long day of work, they sit down at the table, eat dinner with the kids or whatever, the family, and they're so busy with their lives that they have literally a half hour to sit down and watch the nightly news. And the nightly news gets on there, and they don't report about a damn thing. They don't report about the truth. They report about what they want you to hear.
I totally get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying, but if you're a real mom or dad and you're a real American, this would be like the top shit you should know. There's no excuse not to know it. I am literally walking right now as we speak. I am walking across a very busy road, and I'm going to the nearest bar right now with a pamphlet of the freaking the registry in my fucking backpack, along, by the way, with a couple flyers for your show. Not to, like, you know, don't get a big ego over it, but I highly support what you're doing. And I just really don't understand why people do not know about this. We have 4 days left. 4 days left.
No,
it's 18th.
I agree with you, Karen, 110%. And that, what I just told you was just, again, I'm a master speculator. That's speculation on conversations that I've had is kind of what the reasoning that we think is why people are so uninformed, because the media is not telling us the truth. They're telling us what they want us to hear. That's it. So you brought up a good point, and that's another thing I wanted to bring up.
Oh, and I did, by the way, message. I did text Newsmax, and I did ask them, why aren't they letting everybody know about it? They sent me back a confirmation for an email subscription. That's not what I said.
So how about, for the benefit of our audience, why don't you guys fill everybody in? Let all of our listeners know this registry that you're talking about.
About the whole supply registry thing, the federal supply chain?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Jeremy, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one, honey, because I'll do it from, like, a public point of view. You can better inform them from, like, the CDL trucker's point of view. There's a lot of stuff that the general public won't understand. Go ahead, baby. You got the floor. I'll shut up.
I'm going to keep it very short because I don't have a lot of information. Not that I don't have a lot of information on it. I haven't had time to research it as much as I would like so I could actually be intelligent sounding about it. All I do know is it is a national registry issued by the Biden administration. It's a comment period, not just for truckers, but for everybody in America.
For everybody.
Get on there.
Yes.
They,
public.
Yeah,
it's open to the public. All different things you can type on.
The 13.
They have 13 questions. Yep, there's 13 questions on there. They ask you different aspects.
Let me correct you on it. It's not 13 questions. It's 13 different topics.
I'm sorry. You're right. 13 different topics.
I thought it was questions. I was like, oh, and then when I looked on it, it was simply 13 different topics. The general
That's correct. 13 topics. They're asking about different topics. Now, you can pick one that's important to you or that you have knowledge on and answer that topic, or try to answer all 13. But like Lisa Schmidt said the other day, it's probably more beneficial if you answer one topic and then come back and answer another one fully, and make them a long answer so they fully understand and grasp the concept of what you're trying to say. Rather than trying to make 13 little short answers, you can make one long answer to one topic and then come back on and do it again.
See, I wish that you had actually read it. I could actually stop over right now on the side of the road and read to you all 13 little things. But the general public, a lot of it is, like, relating to CDL issues, like things that the normal public would not understand. But there are also clauses in there, as in, like, number 8. It's, like, you know, things that are hindering you know, the execution of what you guys should be doing, like the truckers. Like, what is hindering them from doing their job? Like, oh, my effing Jesus, Lord, like, Buddha God, just give me strength not to swear. And really, like, these mandates, these unconstitutional everything. So what you guys have to go through with that facial recognition, I just wish the general public was more aware. And I think that's, like, actually, like, my new mission right now. I think the public needs to be aware because the general public does not know what I know. And I live in Connecticut, so I think everybody here is communist. But I'm not. And I had, like,
well, no, listen, and we need more voices like you. We need people to get out there and be loud and proud and try to educate people with flyers and what you're doing. Wake the people up. And you're doing it exactly how we're supposed to.
I'm walking down the post fucking road, Route 1, all right? And I have about an eighth of a mile to get to the nearest bar because that's the only place people are congregating at this time of night. And I have these freaking five-page flyers with the, you know, the whole registry stapled together and my own dollar, my own ink stapled together. And I can't tell you how many paper cuts because I'm not happy about that. But I'm going to make sure people hear it.
Good. I'm happy to hear that.
I talked about this on my show that I broadcast last night on Diesel Alley and got rebroadcast on Disrespected Trucker and some other pages on Facebook. But essentially, this is the registry is a public comment type of thing where the FMCSA and the Department of Transportation, they're literally looking for the public's suggestions on how to repair, how to fix the supply chain problem that we have going on. And they have 13 topics listed that they're specifically looking for input from the general public on how to correct. Now, my theory, of course, is that they already know what they want to do, and they're steering the conversation and limiting
people's
knowledge.
No, they're not letting people know about it.
They're not going to let people know because they want a very small response and they're steering the conversation. But
as of this morning, there was like 271 comments. Mine hasn't even been posted yet. It says may take several business days. You know what? That's why I'm literally walking down the post road, Route 1 in Connecticut with flyers stapled together to go tell people what the hell I'm talking about.
Now, what is the common theme that you're seeing in the comments that have already been posted?
All right, well, let's start off with the optimistic ones, okay? The ones that gave me a little bit of hope. I saw, and I don't have my computer in front of me because I am literally walking down Route 1. You can probably hear the traffic. All right. Oh, shoot, I think I went in the wrong direction. I should have went the other way. Oh, I should have went the other way. All right, I'm 0.3 miles away from where I want to go. All right, anyway, what the hopeful things that I saw was I saw a couple companies asking for an extension. One of them was like IRLS or something like that. I think I might have posted it up on my Facebook page. Karen Capobianco, Karen with an I. I'm not that Karen. But... I can't believe I'm going in the wrong direction. Oh, well. All right, let me regroup. Can you ask me a question and I will answer it?
Oh, I was just wondering if you'd looked at the comments that had been coming in and had like a general consensus. What are most people throwing out there as their suggestion for how to fix the supply chain problem?
People are throwing out that the conditions under which the drivers have to do are absolutely unacceptable. They are throwing out taxes about, and I'm not even a trucker, so maybe you'll make sense of this, because it doesn't make that much sense to me as a general, like, you know, lady. But it basically says that they're being paid to, like, fines for being held at port for empty cargoes. And after a certain number of days, if they don't get an appointment, then they have to return it back. Like, what the hell are they talking about? they have to make an appointment, but they can't get the appointment. And if it's not confirmed, then they have to, like, what?
Yeah, that
Does
one
that
I'm not sure of.
To you? You're not
but
sure?
That one doesn't make sense to me. I'm not real sure what segment of the industry that is there. But I mean, I'm saying, what's the most, like, is there a common theme at all amongst the comments, or are they all, are the comments just kind of all over the place about all over, all different types of
things? Unfortunately, the ones that I browse through, they kind of seem like they're all over the place instead of showing a little bit of solidarity. That's kind of what
okay.
I was looking for when I was writing up my comments, and I wanted to see what everybody else had written. No, it was only like between 271 and 275. Definitely no more
okay.
than 275 this morning.
Okay. All
but
right. Well, then,
well,
you know,
then
we're
going to
post that.
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead,
babe.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
you can look
it
up.
And it's
a
good conversation that you brought that up, because we need the audience to hear that this and Karen, tell us how does the general public find this questionnaire or whatever you want to call it, the comment period.
Honestly, like I'll consider myself the general public. I'm just like outraged that we didn't have a choice to have a say earlier. This came out in February, okay? And honestly, Jeremy, if it wasn't for you and you in particularly, I would have no idea about it. Everybody I talked to, I walked down the street with my, like, let's go Brandon sign, but that's not what it says, and people get really mad about it, but I really don't give a shit. You know, people are absolutely horrified. Dude,
I've seen your sign that says fuck Joe Biden. Or fuck Joe Biden.
Yeah,
Jeremy,
I think I...
Freudian flip there?
Yeah, she puts that,
nah,
she puts that sign right on her backpack, and she walks right down the street. She has no shits to be given.
No, and I don't wear a mask. It says fuck Joe Biden and fuck you for voting for him. Yeah, and I have an American flag that I stick right in the back of that.
Let's be fair here. Okay, you have a sign on the back of your backpack that says fuck Joe Biden. How many times did I hear, and I probably said it myself, fuck Donald Trump. I heard it a million times from everybody. So you can't
act
like you're offended by this
mother,
when you weren't offended. But what I'm saying is you can't be offended by fuck Joe Biden when you were the one saying fuck Donald Trump, because, hey, they didn't like that either, Donald Trump supporters, and you said it anyway. So guess what? Now they're going to do the same thing because they don't like Joe Biden, and they have their right too. So fair is fair. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah. No, you know what? I'm not even allowed to go see my own parents because I'm not vaccinated. And my mom's my adoptive mother, not my biological mother. She was murdered. But, you know, my freaking adoptive mom saw my little sign on my backpack, and she goes, ah, how would you feel if I said, fuck freaking Trump? I'm like, Mom, that would be, you know, your right of choice. And that would be totally okay, but she's so not okay. I'm not even allowed in the house to go pee. I have to stay outside.
Well, I'm sorry
like,
to hear that. That's
here,
not right. But.
No, people here in Connecticut are freaking brainwashed. I swear to God, they don't have a single ounce of common sense. I just do not get it. Like,
well,
where
Karen,
are
I appreciate
their
fucking
brain cells?
I appreciate you calling in and sharing that information with us. And also, I want to say thank you for your activism and your support. We need more people like yours out there educating people.
I do,
and, but I have to move
have
on
one,
with the program.
I have
Go
one
ahead.
Question, though, real quick. I want to know, how come when I looked up on Bayer today, I can't get anything besides freaking September 24th? Why don't I have any up-to-date information?
I just went into that myself, and I was wondering the same thing. All it does is bring me in circles now. I used to be able to get on there, and it'd bring me right to the data. Now, when I go look for the same thing I looked for a month ago, it brings me in circles. It won't let me
see
the actual data.
I
want
to know why. You're not alone. I really want to know the answer to that question.
I completely agree with you. But, Karen, I've got to move on. Thank you again for
you
everything
go ahead.
That you're doing.
I love you.
And your
I love
support.
You guys. Go ahead, mute me.
Okay,
I love
thank
you,
Karen.
Bye.
Okay, that was Karen from Connecticut. She is a very big supporter of what we're doing and the message that we're portraying out there. A lot of enthusiasm comes out of Karen, and we sure appreciate what she does also. If you want to call in at 516-387-1733. Just press the 1, and we'll bring you right on air, and you can share your thoughts and opinions with us, whether you agree with us or disagree with us. So, yeah, Chris, if only half of us had, or if only all of us had half the enthusiasm that Karen has, and half the enthusiasm that Mama Bear has, and certain ones that are, you know, that stand up and actually do stuff, just imagine the changes we could do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And just for everybody's benefit here. Now, I've got the address for the link that will take you straight to this Federal Register survey. I'm working here to see if I can find some quick keywords that will bring that link up in a search, because it's quite complicated. I'm going to be posting the link to this register on Tsilhally Motor Cult. I'll also throw it out in the Disrespected Trucker and some of the other pages out there for people. But I'm going to read through this, and forgive me, it's long, but it is, of course, www.federalregister.gov/documents/2021-1974/americas-supply-chains-and-the-transportation-industrial-base #P=Paul-16. That is the full address to the document in question there, where you can actually go in and submit your public comment. Like I said, I'll be posting the direct link to that on several social media sites, including the big ones that people know, the Tsilhally Motor Cult and Disrespected Trucker. Stop the tires. You just did it. Okay, cool.
I posted it on my personal page, and I posted on the Disrespected Trucker. I'll let you, post on your on the Diesel Ladder, Diesel Alley Motor Cult. And I did post on Save the Flag also. So that information is out there. If you guys want to go find it, go to the Disrespected Trucker on Facebook. That will be in the posts there. It's called America Supply Chains and the Transportation Industrial Base. That's also on my personal page. Those of you that are listening that are my friends, go check it out. Go and make your comments. You want to get involved without being an activist and being out holding signs on the side of a road? Here's your chance. Be a part of something. You know, and it's we should all be doing it, honestly. And it's a shame that we don't get involved more often, but we have to take the time to get involved. Moving on with this, I wanted to bring up a letter that I received from Lisa Schmidt. It wasn't a letter from her, but it was she copied and pasted and shared it with me. This comes from the Effingham County, Georgia Development Services Department Planning and Zoning. I can just read you kind of what it is. It's the Effingham County Planning Board will be holding a public meeting on Monday, October 18th, 2021 at 6 p.m. This meeting will be held at the Effingham County Administrative Complex in Springfield, Georgia. And what they are talking about is a rezone of 20.12 acres from B2 to B3. I don't need to get into those details, but here's what this is the part I really wanted to get to. So this letter is dated October 11th, 2021. Notice, public meeting on Monday, October, we went through all that. It's to rezone our community, for a truck stop / convenience store. It is very important as a community that we all go to the meeting to voice our concerns of a truck stop being in our front or backyards. We will have noise pollution, lights, trucks sitting, idling all night. It will ultimately destroy the tranquil lifestyle that we all enjoy now. They are also proposing to destroy our wetland. The more of us that attend, the better impact we will have. In the summary that was proposed in the Effingham County Development Services, 20 diesel fuel pumps, 10 fueling stations, a 2.61-acre parking area, 45 truck parking spaces, and fueling station for cars. The project size is 20.12 acres, which includes a 9,500-square-foot convenience store and a 2,600-square-foot retail restaurant. Let us all stand as a community, ! 6 times. And it was signed, thank you, Karen Arledge. Well, Karen Arledge, I know you'll probably never listen to this radio show, and if you do by chance or if it gets back to you, from the American Trucker, just remember that tranquil lifestyle that you so enjoy now, that all of that was brought to you by an American Trucker. Just to remind you, that I just wanted to bring that up there, Karen. And it's funny, you know, that you come out with this letter. If you come out here and lived how we have to live every week, and listen, I get it. We choose this job. We choose this career. But it's not all peaches and cream, honey. And we have to go through adverse different things in our life as truck drivers to make sure that you can enjoy that tranquil lifestyle. I can assure you when they build a truck stop, they're going to put up privacy fence, sound barrier fences or whatever. You're probably not going to hear much. I think it's probably more on the lines of this lady has nothing else to do but to pitch. We've come across a lot of those people all over the country. But I wanted to bring that up to everybody's bring it to their awareness. And email the Effingham County and let them know that truck drivers are very short on parking already in this country, and we desperately need more parking. So when they are trying to shoot down a place where they could add 45 spots, that's detrimental to our industry anywhere in this country.
Especially in Georgia. Georgia
yeah,
is not
exactly.
The easiest place to find parking.
Well, and here's the thing. The other night I was coming up I-35 in Missouri. Yeah, just north of Kansas City. It was roughly 10 o'clock at night when I started looking for truck parking. I pulled into a truck stop, 10 o'clock, full. So I went down the road a little ways, pulled into another truck stop, full. Went down the road a ways, pulled into another truck stop. Yes, you guessed it, full. I ended up getting up to the Missouri-Iowa border in Eagleville, Missouri. And when I pulled off the ramp there, I knew that the Love's was full. I mean, I don't even have to second-guess myself on that. But I looked off to the right to see if that little mom-and-pop truck stop had any parking. Well, they had trucks parked all the way out by the fireworks stand thing, and I said, to hell with it. I had to pull over off to the shoulder off the on-ramp and sleep there
full?
For the night. Yeah.
Eagleville was full.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't parked in that truck stop. Oh, it's. I was flat bedding probably the last time I parked there. So we're talking, you know, well over two years ago. But that little independent place in Eagleville, that used to always, there used to never be an issue parking there. That used to be, you know, just pick a spot and stop because, you know, there's a big lot and maybe four or five trucks in it. You're telling me that now, just in this short time, you know, in 2.5 years or so, that now that place is actually filling up?
It's everywhere now. Places where you used to be able to, like it was almost guaranteed that you'd find parking, are full now. Like, I'll take, for example, I run I-44 in Missouri quite often, and even Cuba, if you get there too late at night, they have over 400 parking spots, if not 600, 400 to 600, let's call it that. But I pulled in there one night where I ended up having to park sideways behind a row of trucks because there were no other parking spots. And when I got up in the morning, we were four wide behind the trucks and about,
wow,
I don't know, four or five deep. And, yeah, there's definitely a truck parking problem in this country. You go to the St. Paul area, you got to stay well south St. Paul, Minneapolis area, or west or east. You don't get in within, I would say, what would you say, probably a half hour, Chris, of St. Paul, Minneapolis area?
If you're running any time, trying to park any time after 5, 6 o'clock in the evening, I mean, you have to damn near go all the way down to Albert Lea, which is what, about 80 miles south of the cities?
Well,
I barely grabbed the parking spot there at the 245 the other night. I grabbed a spot on the curb, and I think there was like two more spaces along the curb that were still open, and it was like 6:45 in the evening, I think, when I parked.
Yeah, and see,
and
I'm actually sitting
like,
in Owatonna right
like
now.
50 miles.
I'm at the Cabela's. I moved over to the Cabela's because they got truck parking over here, and this is all full. The Quick Trip is all full.
Yeah, and you're like, what? You're 50 miles. You're 50 miles south of the city, and everything prior to that was already full by like 4:30 when I went through the other day.
Well, there's a Casey's just south of here, and yeah, it was, depending on what time you went by that, that was probably full. That's just about 10 miles south of Highway 14, 10 or 15 miles. There's probably, I don't know, 25 spots there, but that fills up pretty quick at night too. But the cities is horrible in Minnesota. You can't find parking anywhere near that. So when you're on ELDs, you got to start your clock, you know, 1 hour prior to driving in to make your delivery, and then driving your hour, that takes an hour away from your productivity for the day.
Well, right. Last hour of drive time that you have available, a lot of times, if you're running any type of schedule other than lazy heavy haulers that only drive during the sunlight, you know, like myself, if you're trying to park after 7 p.m., you're going to reserve that last hour to start looking for places to park because
right.
You're probably going to run, just like you did the other night, you're probably going to stop at, you know, two or three different places before you finally are able to get lucky and find a spot somewhere. And sometimes it's even worse than that. And sometimes you end up having to park on the shoulder and just hope that a state trooper either doesn't go by or is busy doing something else and doesn't have time to knock on your door and write you a parking ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's a lot of states that don't allow truckers to park on an off-ramp or an on-ramp. Personally, I don't like parking on an on-ramp or an off-ramp. There's too many variables that could happen. People getting on and off the interstate,
right,
hit you. People try to rob you. Who knows? I'd rather
right.
stay in a well-lit parking lot, you know, but that's why it's more important, so important, that we push for more safe truck parking across the country, because let's face it, we all deserve that. For the time that we're away from our families and what we do to supply America, the very least you could do is make sure that we have a safe place to park and sleep and get well-rested. You know what I mean?
I mean, we might be asking too much there, but yeah, I mean, if you want the products, if you want your store shelves to be full, you know, because I'm sure Karen out there in Georgia, you know, Karen, not to be too cliche here, Karen's probably going to be the first one to ask to speak to your manager the first time favorite, you know, whatever isn't on the shelf, and is going to raise hell and say unacceptable when they say, well, you know, the truck hasn't got here yet, you know, but then she's going to turn around, she's going to leave that store, and she's going to go out and lead the fight to, you know, not allow more truck parking, because, and that's what people have to realize too, this is part of the capacity problem. We don't really have a driver shortage problem. We have a capacity problem. Capacity being the time it takes to move freight effectively between points. And you run into a situation where guys are parking, you know, an hour earlier when they have to, sometimes 2 hours earlier than what they have time on their clock left to drive. Because they already know along that route, it's like, yeah, I've got to be parked by 7:30 over here, or I'm not going to have a place to park. And so they're cutting their day short. They're cutting the productivity short in order to meet that. If you're delivering to a city any time after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, if you're in a major city, forget it. You're gonna give up even trying to park inside that major city. You're gonna end up stopping wherever you can grab parking within striking distance. A lot of times these trucks are gonna be stopping an hour outside of that city. So yeah, we absolutely need more truck parking out here. That is one of the solutions to fixing the supply chain problem, is to provide more adequate truck parking so that trucks can actually get closer to their destination, knowing that they have a place to park there. And that's going to keep, you know, those hours being used more effectively, that they have, you know, available to drive, along with a host of other issues I won't even get into right now.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing I feel that cuts into our productivity is the lack of adequate parking. And didn't they just have, they turned down the commission on discussing the parking or financing on that? I recollect not too long ago that they had something to discuss the parking and they turned it down. They said it's not a problem, or we ain't going to look at it right now, or something like that. I'd have to look
there
back
was some
into
of that effect.
That.
I've lost track of the excuses. I know for 20 years, we're going to do a study. We're going to do a study. We're going to do a study. Well, it's been 20 years, and how many millions of dollars on studies, and have we figured out yet that the problem is we have more trucks than parking spaces? You know, I don't know what mathematician with a company that provides a couple million dollars in campaign cash they need to contract with to come up with the amazing solution that we need enough truck parking spaces to match the number of trucks that need to park. But you know how that goes. So I don't know. I don't know where we're at on it.
Yeah, I know Lee Schmidt is he's very knowledgeable. Lee and Lisa, you know, Lee drives and Lisa sits and she researches and she does all that stuff all day long, and very knowledgeable people. But anyway, we got about 2.5 minutes left of the show tonight, guys, and I just wanted to say, all of those of you that have listened to the show tonight, joined in the conversation, called in and joined the conversation, I want to be the first one to say I appreciate your call in. I appreciate your listen. Please share this radio show out with all your friends and family, and let them know. You know what? They might not agree with everything that we say, or maybe none of it, but they are welcome to join the conversation and share their opinion as long as they do it respectfully. We'll put them on the air, and I'll let them talk and let them share their opinion. There's nothing wrong with having an opposing point of view or an opposing opinion, as long as we do it respectfully and like adults. So, I mean, we had the first night that you were on here, I believe we had a caller, somebody that we both know very well, that was opposing views, and he said what he wanted to say, and, you know, we didn't necessarily see eye to eye, but we had a nice conversation, and that's what it's supposed to supposed to go like.
That's how it works.
So, I wanted to just to say thank you to everybody, and we sure appreciate it. I see the views and the listens. I shouldn't say the views. The listens are going up on our shows. I look back at our past shows. We're not quite at Joe Rogan numbers yet. We've got a little ways to go on that, but hey, they are improving. Anyway, we got a minute left, and I just, again, I wanted to say thank you. Thank you again, and we will talk to you guys all next Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central, 7 to 9. Otherwise, go check out Redneck and Eyes. Is that how you say it? Redneck and Eyes.
Redneck and Eyes.
Yeah, Redneck and Eyes. On Sunday nights,
yeah,
at 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern, they'll be on for 2 hours. Go check out their show and see what they got to say. That's all I got. You guys, y'all have a good night, and we will see you next Thursday night at 7 p.m.
We'll see you at the next one, 10-4.